am and listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today. This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rohn. Praise God. It is another beautiful day. On today's broadcast,
we feature a friend, a fellow minister, Nancy Brooks. Now, she's with us today to share her experience and insight at the National and Global Day of Prayer and Repentance. And this event was called The Return. And the question is, return to what? Well, it's the return to God, recognizing God as our Creator and Savior, and a return to our foundation principles in this country. It's obvious today there's a lot of confusion, tension, and hate. And I think much of that is stirred up through the news media. The media keeps on pounding and pounding on us with fear, worry, and staged events. It's not always true. My friend, God hasn't left us. We have left Him. And He's waiting. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for me. He's waiting for our country. He's waiting for the world to come back to Him. And His arms will be open wide, and He will cure the woes and the fears of this country. So, here she is, our guest, Nancy Brooks. Hi, Nancy.
Okay. It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me. In Washington, D.C., on the Mall, mm-hmm. and there were basically two groups of people. Franklin Graham had his walk of prayer that went from the Lincoln Memorial to the World War II Monument, then to the Washington Monument, past where we were, and then on to the Capitol, which is about 2 miles. His walk started at noon. The return with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, that started at 9 o'clock. So many, many of Franklin Graham's individuals were with us for 3 hours before they went to the Lincoln Memorial. It was, someone said there were 50,000. I was told that Franklin Graham, his organization, and they had like tags around their neck so you could identify them actually from our group. They said that there were 500,000. I know there were just a lot of people on the Mall. It was inspiring to see, and I know that I'm from Pennsylvania, from Western Pennsylvania. We didn't actually meet anyone from Pennsylvania. We met them from all over the country, from Oregon, from Georgia, Colorado, Florida, Minnesota. I think the most impressive thing for me, and it's not as if I didn't know this before, but to be with so many people who were like-minded. And again, you know, color, race, culture, none of that mattered. We were just all Christians there for one thing, and that was to come before God and to repent for what has occurred in our country at this time, and has, of course, been coming to this place for a long, long time, for decades. I think for someone like myself, who's an older individual, I never really understood until the last couple of years what the Constitution really stood for, and that the founders of our country, how they came before God with Judeo-Christian principles, and they lifted that up before God. And when you do that, God holds you to that. And that's what we were responding to, was the fact that the Christian church, if the Christian church isn't upholding Judeo-Christian principles, then how can we expect anyone else to uphold them? That it's our responsibility, it's our duty before God to do that. And so another thing that I found just so refreshing was that there was no name calling. There really was no politics involved. It was just believers coming before God. And there was a time when we knelt on the ground asking God to forgive us individually of where we had fallen short. And then collectively, you know, just asking him, you know, the scripture, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. There was a time when the weeping, I mean, the tears just poured from your eyes. You could feel it. You could feel the sorrow and the sadness that all of us felt at having to come before God at this time, knowing what, you know, just what has occurred in our country, the lack of spirituality, the lack of fundamental principles, not only within individuals, but within families and, of course, within, you know, the federal government. Someone said, I think maybe during the time we were there from 7:30 in the morning till 5 at night. And someone said, you know, we have prayed for the world and now the world is praying for us. The world has been watching us. The world has seen our struggles. And I found that so comforting, coming from a military background and knowing how much sacrifice we have given to the world at times, graciously and you know, wanting to help.
Mm-hmm.
I just found it comforting to know that the world now looks at us and says, you know, they need our prayers. And I think the world is worried. I think the world is worried that if we can't pull it off, if we can't repent and come back to the principles that have made our country so great, you know, what is going to happen to them when they need our help? Because we are the most powerful nation in the world.
Wow. I have people that write to me from other countries. So from Canada, they are sweating what's going on in the United States.
Yeah.
And pray. And they say, well, we love your president. We need him. You know, there's nothing I can do, but from another country, I want you to know that we know that God is using this man and we're watching your country. All over the world, right? They're looking toward us. Yes.
Well, and you know, Jim, that I have a dream background, and so I've been watching on the net, and all over the world, people have been having dreams, you know, that basically show that at this time, God is using someone to give us a second chance. He's using someone to pull back the machinery that's just blasting ahead into secularism and worse. So I hear it like you. I hear the message. I hear the information from all over the world.
Right, yes. And we hear these terrible reports 24 hours a day. You go to a doctor's office, it's on the television. You go to the auto place to get your car repaired, and it's in the waiting room. It's in the newspapers. Okay. Now, back to you, Nancy.
When I know that I talk with my friends, and we talk about how when we were growing up, the Judeo-Christian principles, values, they were there. They were there in the ground you walked. They were there in the water that you drank. It just was in the atmosphere. Even if you weren't a church goer, those principles were very strong. They were very stable. And there's so many young people and families that have no background whatsoever in spirituality. They have no understanding of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's really it's very sad. I watch it in my workplace. I just watch how so many people are just rudderless. They just have no, they don't have anything to guide them. They're just going day by day, you know, basically doing what's best for them, even not understanding at all that choosing goodness actually works for everyone. And everyone benefits from that, but the self often doesn't benefit you, and it doesn't benefit the people around you. So there's just these little pools of pebbles that get dropped in that become waves, and then, you know, become such, you know, so much turbulence that people can't survive anymore. They can't find their way. They can't even see where they are. So it was, again, my eyes have been open for a long time, and that's the other thing. Meeting these people, I could tell that God had been working in them, through them, with them for a long time for us to gather there. And as we sat, you know, and stood, you wondered, how did we get there? How did we as individuals get there? I know that for me, when I saw Rabbi Kahn's advertisement months ago, I sent it to a friend who lives closer to Washington, D.C., and she said, do you want to go? I said, yes. She said, should I make reservations? And I said, yes. And within 5 minutes, it was done.
Oh, my.
And there were many, many people that actually just got on a plane or got in their car like a week ago. Like a week ago, they decided. So I think, you know, there was divine appointment. There were people that would just gather, begin to pray. And when other people would say, see that they were praying, then they would lay their hands on their shoulders or they would join hands. And before you know it, the group would get larger and larger. And people would just pray, whatever was on their heart. And of course, there was a time when, you know, the Holy Spirit just fell toward the end of the day. I mean, just such a time of praise, such a time of feeling the presence of God and knowing that something had shifted, not only in the country, but also that something had shifted in each and every one of us. I don't think we'll ever be the same, those of us who attended. And I went to Washington for Jesus, I think it was back in the 70s or 80s. I don't remember the exact date, but I was a young mom, you know, a young adult, and I remember going to that at that time, never imagining that, you know, 40 years later, you know, I would go to something like this at a time where it was even needed more than what it was back then.
Wow. So you were saying you felt God's presence as the day went on?
You felt God's presence. I mean, I think this would probably be individual. So there were people speaking all day, you know, but they only gave like small talks, like 5 minutes or 7 minutes. And of course, then there was wonderful music. Some of it was live, some of it was already, you know, pre-recorded. But there were moments throughout the day when a particular speaker would just, their spirit would grab you and you would stop talking, stop eating, you know, you would just suddenly be alert and you would hear what they were saying. And I'm sure that that was individual depending on where the individuals were in the body of Christ. For me, they did just the most amazing, I believe, presentation of, you know, the racial problem in our country. And I had known for a while and had heard someone speak several years ago on the fact that when Martin Luther King, when he passed away, when he was killed, unfortunately, the churches went back to being segregated in their churches. African Americans went back to their churches. You know, whites went back to their churches. What would have happened in this country had we not segregated ourselves at that time? I really believe there would not be a racial issue because I believe that what the church accomplishes, you know, God just honors because of what, not only because they're his rules, his universal principles, but because of the fact that forefathers, the founders of this great country, they gave those principles up to God. So God is going to hold us to them. We're going to be held accountable. And they also gave some stats which said that there's only a few mega churches and only a few large churches that are truly integrated, where when you go, you see people from every nationality, every, you know, every culture, young, old, anything in between. And that's I believe, a church that God can use mightily.
Yeah, that's, I'm glad you're bringing up. When I heard that you went, I knew I would get some firsthand experience from a believer. That's what I'm wanting to hear from you today. You're saying God's presence showed up.
It really did. Like I said, there were times that people just, you know, I mean, the weeping was just palpable. I mean, it just would go through you. And of course, the shofars, the blowing of the shofars throughout, you know, the 8 hours or however many hours that was. I believe it was eight. Yes, those, the 8 hours. I mean, that was, you just knew, you knew that they were calling on the presence of God, that they were calling for walls to be brought down. I can't explain that experience with that sound, but that is a powerful, powerful sound. And Rabbi Kahn has a lot of experience all over the world using that Old Testament call to arms, basically.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yes, I can sense some of that.
It seemed just about everyone was represented there. I saw Indians, American Indians, and I've been reading a lot about the American Indians, and we did some terrible things to them, and I feel sorrow of what we did. It's like, well, someday we're going to pay, is what I think.
We need to repent of that.
Absolutely. And I mean, basically, I believe they touched every single aspect of our society and where we had failed. And the failure was laid squarely upon the shoulders of the Christian community, the Christian churches. It was not laid upon anyone else but us. Because again, if we cannot achieve that with God's help, how do we expect the world to achieve that? How do we expect individuals or a government, a mere government, you know, to achieve that? It's only through the grace of God that our hearts are opened and that we become just one in Christ. You know, again, coming from different cultures, we look at things differently, perhaps, but then you have the body of Christ, and you have people coming into the body of Christ having gifts that are different from each other. And that was another thing, that throughout the day we would meet people, and I don't know, you just had an instant rapport, just instantly. It was like you knew them. It was like you had known them forever. You didn't hesitate to be yourself. You didn't hesitate to say what was on your heart and mind. You didn't hesitate, you know, to pray with strangers. What a refreshing time to just be with, basically, I think you could say, the family of God. I heard someone say, this is what it'll be like in heaven. Just having everyone to talk to, everyone to be there for you, supporting you.
So there's power in the body of Christ, and it doesn't have to be the majority. In fact, usually Christians are the least supported minority, not the majority. Wonderful. Now, I can sense an anointing over this experience you had, an anointing over you, and we have people listening who are not even familiar with the Christian walk. Maybe they're familiar with this return, Day of the National Prayer and Repentance. Could you pray for those individuals right now? They're saying, I want this, I want this. Could you pray for them right now?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we just come before you, Father God, and we just ask that you would that your spirit would just touch the hearts, the minds, the souls of these individuals that are seeking truth. In your word, you tell us that the truth will set you free. So it doesn't matter what's happening in your life or what has happened. What matters is what's going to happen. And when you walk with God, the truth really will set you free. There's nowhere to hide, and it's such a great thing to not have to hide. Because God accepts us. He's not a respecter of persons. He accepts us right where we are. We don't have to change for Him. We just have to be open to Him. And He will come in, and He will begin to help you walk a life that is fulfilling for you, and a life that basically you came to live, the destiny that you were called to, you know, before you were conceived in your mother's womb. So, Father God, we just ask today that you would just send your Holy Spirit to just give these individuals peace and a further curiosity and a further longing to be one with you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen in Jesus' name. Thank you, Nancy. Today, Nancy Brooks.
Okay. It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Wow, what an experience. Well, now we're going to leave Washington, D.C., and on the next part of our broadcast, we are going to look in on a young minister of global awakening, Paul Martini. And he goes on the streets and walks up to people and presents the gospel in unique ways, and people are healed. So here's my friend. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, I'm a Christian you've never met before. Let me just say that. Or, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. So I said, well, let me see. And this is for, I want the Christians to hear this specifically, because there he is. He's like, will you pray for me? I didn't teach him about Jesus. I didn't tell him what I was going to do. I didn't do anything that was special. Dr. Jim, I said a 20-second prayer. I took his hand. And I was working with a ministry who hands out clothing. It's getting cold outside, clothing and food to the homeless. And so we're in a park full of homeless people and crack addicts. And this place is so bad. It's like one of the only places in Baltimore they refused to sell like liquor before a certain time because people were getting too drunk to go to work.
Oh.
So, I mean, so here you're walking around, and so now I don't have an agenda, and I'm not judging the law, so I'm pretty free. And so now I can walk up to crack dealers or people who I would be too scared to talk to and say, hey, man, how are you doing? Or what's going on with your leg? You know, why are you limping? You know, and say, hey, can I make that better for you? You know, let me lay hands on them, you know. And so here we are in the park, and it's a great ministry out there. And so they actually have an open, like they have chairs for people to be prayed for. And we were praying for people. There was this woman, she still had alcohol in her breath. This is like Saturday morning, so she must have been drinking all night.
Yeah,
and she's
just starting to evaporate.
And she's feeling bad about herself. I think her name was Tony, and she was like, oh man, I got. And she said she had back pain, but I mean, it must have been kidney pain where she was pointing to. And I just had the word of knowledge. It was just kidney pain, and I felt like her kidneys were failing her.
Ooh.
And she said, I get these. She goes, these pains are so bad, I can't walk, and I gotta like pull myself to the bathroom to go to the bathroom sometimes. But she said she was an alcoholic. I mean, you know, and so we prayed on her. I put my hands right where her kidney was, like I pointed, you know, put a little pressure there. And I just felt like that was what I was supposed to do. I started speaking, and the pain left her body, and she was blown away. And you know, and the pastor there kept saying, Tony, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. And she goes, if you keep saying I'm beautiful, I'm going to cry. He goes, because you're beautiful. God loves you so much. She goes, and that's when she says, she goes, I need help. I want to get rid of this alcoholism. Tell me, where can I get help? How can I get rid of this? You know, so here, we're not looking for healings necessarily because they're healings.
Yeah.
You know what? God wants people to be whole. but it's the door for him to touch their life and to make them whole as a person inside and out. So that was Tony. Then this guy who's walking by, nice leather jacket, a black gentleman, he had a wireless earpiece, a backwards hat, he's about in the 50s, but he's walking with a cane. Here, he had a stroke 3 years ago. His whole right side. His whole right side, he had like a drop foot because of
drag,
the stroke.
It would just drag. It just drag
with, with a cane. And his hand was in a ball. And he couldn't open up his right hand. And so he saw people coming for prayer. And he was just walking by. And he goes, "Will you pray for me?" And I have. So I said, well, let me see. And this is for, I want the Christians to hear this specifically. Because there he is. He's like, "Will you pray for me?" I didn't teach him about Jesus. I didn't tell him what I was going to do. I didn't do anything that was special. Dr. Jim, I said a 20-second prayer. I took his hand and I said, "Father, I command these nerve endings to grow in Jesus' name. And I command this all muscles, all tendons, all nerve endings to be restored in Jesus' name." And I put my hand on his mind. I just felt led to spirit. And I said, and I speak clarity into his mind, and I speak peace right now where there's chaos. And I said, "Okay," his name was Kevin. I said, "Okay, Kevin, test it out." And instantly, this is a 20-second prayer, his hand started moving up and down, opening. And he goes, What did you do?" He goes, what's going on? "This isn't my hand." He goes, "This isn't my hand." Because it was cold out. He had a glove on. He said, "I got to take my glove off because I don't believe this is my hand." I said, "Kevin, God's restored everything to you." I said, "It's not just your hand. Check out your foot." And he's picking up his leg up and down. He goes, "I can't believe this. What did you do? Who are you? Can I have your business card?" You know, "Look, Kevin, I don't have a business card." You know, I said, "Listen, Kevin, it's not just your body. Let me pray for you as well." I said, "God wants to restore your relationships. He wants to restore who you are. He wants to restore everything that's broken you. This is just a sign of restoration that's coming to you." Yeah. And so I was able to pray with him. That, I mean, Dr. Jim, no lie, he was by himself. There's clothing, food, whatever. He could have had a snack while he was there. He stared at his hand. He was so thankful to get his hand back for 40 minutes looking at it. But I mean, that's when you know it's a real healing, you know? And he's just like, and then he would go to the park bench. He would watch him and he would sit down and stand up and sit down and stand up. And I said, "What are you doing, Kevin?" He goes, "I just want to make sure. I could never do this on my own." He goes, "I knew that would be a real test if I could sit down and stand up." And so after a while, he walks away. I have a picture of it. But he walks away with his cane under his armpit, you know, and he leaves, you know. And that's just a God coming on somebody. Wow. But because we were willing, you know. And that's Luke chapter 10, you know, the Good Samaritan story.
Yeah.
It's been touching my heart lately. And it's just like, here this man's, he's been robbed, you know. How many people do we know out there that's been robbed, laying in a ditch, you know, emotionally, spiritually.
True. Yeah,
robbed. And here our priests pass by them, people, Christians, myself, you know.
Yeah, Christians.
Who know the truth. And a Samaritan walks by, somebody you don't think.
Yeah, somebody they thought was a dirty dog.
Was a dirty dog.
Wrong.
Right.
Those Samaritans don't believe right.
Yeah, they're in the wrong mind.
Yeah.
Picks up the injured Galilean man, I think it was, and healed his wounds, you know, put oil on his wounds, took him to an innkeeper, paid for his stay. And so, you know, Christianity isn't just a ticket to heaven. And a lot of us are living that way, but it's actually being whole and helping other people become whole, what Jesus did.
It's a ticket to life.
To life now.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Come fly with Global Air Force.